Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are wrestling with, well, a high-stakes financial mystery that played out just a few days ago. The date is November 28th, 2025, and silver prices didn't just move, they exploded. We saw the metal surge to a nominal record high, settling near $55 an ounce after touching peaks around $56. But here's the massive, just bizarre context for all of this. This record was set at the same time as a catastrophic, totally unexpected trading halt at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the CME.
It's the perfect market paradox, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have this true decade-spanning technical breakout happening at the exact moment the infrastructure that supports 90% of global derivatives trading just went dark.
Yeah.
So our mission in this deep dive is to look past that dramatic technical failure and really figure out what was driving the price. I mean, was the CME halt the cause of the surge, or was it just a distraction from these far deeper structural forces that have been building for years?
Exactly. We're diving into a stack of market analysis and some proprietary research focused on precious metals, looking at everything from technical chart patterns to fundamental supply deficits and, crucially, historical context. And just to set the scene for you right away, we have to talk about the huge disparity in global pricing. As spot prices were consolidating near $55 here in the U.S., rates in India were equivalent to, what, roughly $33.50 an ounce.
Right. And that massive gap, that represents a 21% monthly surge in Asia.
Wow.
It tells you immediately that the real action is happening in the physical metal, not just the paper contracts. That kind of disparity is highly unusual, and it's our first big clue.
So it points to a physical tightness.
A real strain on available inventory that the paper price just isn't fully capturing yet.
Okay, let's start with the drama, the charts, the mechanical breakdown. The initial excitement was purely technical.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Silver broke out above its prior all-time nominal highs, which were sitting around $53, $54 an ounce. It jumped over 3% in that session. For chartists, this was the moment they'd been waiting for.
And what's fascinating here is the sheer conviction. I mean, this wasn't some weak spike. The price blew past those previous highs with really strong backing from its support systems.
You mean the moving averages?
Specifically, the 10-day and 50-day moving averages were trailing right below, providing a floor. That suggests the momentum had really deep roots.
And here's where it gets, I think, really interesting for anyone who studies long-term patterns. Our source material points out that this breakout completed a massive technical formation, a 45-year cup and handle pattern.
That's right, a 45-year formation.
Can you just break that down for our listeners who aren't traders? 45 years sounds insane.
It is. So imagine a big U-shaped curve on a chart. That's the cup. It represents this long period of decline, followed by a full recovery back to the original peak. And then the handle is just a small consolidation zone right before the breakout. 45 years to form that kind of structure suggests we're seeing a permanent historical shift in the market's valuation, not just some temporary spike.
And if we needed more confirmation, the gold-silver ratio fell decisively below 77-1 during this rally.
And a ratio falling below 77 is a massive signal. It means it takes fewer than 77 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. Historically, whenever silver starts closing that gap aggressively, it means silver is gaining its own independent strength.
It's confirming its own bull market.
Exactly. Ahead of gold.
Okay, so you have this elegant technical picture. Now let's contrast that with the real-time mess. The failure at the CME, it wasn't a cyber attack, it wasn't manipulation, it was a literal cooling failure.
That's the official story, and it is a bit embarrassing for an institution that big.
Yeah.
The halt struck at 9.44 p.m. Eastern on November 27th. The failure was at the Cyrusone data center in Illinois, which hosts the GlobeX platform. And the reason? Overheating servers.
Overheating. Because a facility designed for 2015 data loads just couldn't handle 2025 processing demands. It almost sounds like a metaphor for our infrastructure in general, honestly.
It really does. So this cooling failure caused a complete halt of 90% of global derivatives trading. And while traders are just sitting there staring at blank screens, wondering if this is a financial crisis, the market kept moving.
Oh, wait, hold on. If 90% of derivatives trading was halted, couldn't you argue the price surge was just some low-volume frenzy that the CME normally buffers out?
That's a really important question. It gets to market psychology. But the evidence is pretty definitive because of the global nature of metals trading.
Okay.
During the time the CME was paused, markets like Shanghai and the over-the-counter or OTC market, they kept going. And crucially, Silver hit its absolute peak of $56.41, specifically in that OTC in Shanghai trading.
So while the paper market was literally crashing, the price was still surging in physical locations.
Precisely. The halt was like a perfect stress test for the price momentum. It proved the underlying will to buy was global and structural, and it wasn't dependent on one broken exchange.
So if the surge wasn't a fluke, then we have to shift gears and talk fundamentals. The real why behind all this. We talk a lot about silver as a monetary metal, but its foundation today is industrial.
Absolutely. We have to remember that industrial applications are now about 50% of all silver consumption. This isn't just a shiny metal anymore. It's a critical component in the biggest growth sectors of the global economy.
Let's break that down. What specific non-negotiable applications are driving that 50%?
Well, the list is growing, but the big hitters are solar photovoltaics, advanced electronics, electric vehicles, the EVs, and, you know, increasingly complex medical devices.
Let's talk about solar for a second.
Sure. Silver is the most conductive and reflective material known to man. So when you need to capture and transfer electricity in a solar panel for, say, 2 decades, you can't just swap it out for copper or aluminum without a huge loss of efficiency.
So that demand is inelastic.
Completely. The global push to transition to clean energy means we need astronomical amounts of silver.
And that's just the industrial side. We know investment demand is adding fuel to the fire.
It is. We've seen exchange-traded product, the ETP inflows, that's metal held by funds, reach 95 million ounces recently. That reflects some safe haven demand, but the investment volume is really just reacting to the structural problem.
And what is that core structural problem, the supply deficit?
And stress the word deficit. This isn't a single-year shortage. We are now in a multi-year deficit situation that is persistent, it's long-running. Exceeding 7 years now by some counts.
We're just consuming more than we're pulling out of the ground.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And on the supply side, the constraints are severe. Mine production is flat, maybe even declining because of high operating costs. And recycling efforts, you know, taking silver from old electronics, they just can't fill the gap.
So you have this high-tech, inelastic demand paired with stagnant, costly supply. That sounds like a fundamental crisis.
And you can see that crisis when you look at the stockpiles. Inventory levels on the major exchanges, COMEX and London, they're sounding alarms. They've hit historical lows.
And that's what's driving those physical premiums in Asia.
Exactly. It underscores the huge disparity between the paper price and the actual metal available for delivery. The physical market is undeniably tight.
It sounds less like a temporary bubble and more like the market is finally waking up to a severe multi-year physical imbalance.
That is the essential conclusion from the data, yes.
Okay, let's unpack some history because this whole situation feels intensely familiar. This isn't the first time silver has had a dramatic late year breakout. We have to compare this to the infamous silver mania from, what, nearly 46 years ago?
The echoes are striking. In late November 1979, silver had this massive surge, going from about $6 to $17.50 an ounce. It aligns perfectly with the timing of this current breakout.
And that 1979 surge was the one that ultimately peaked at $50 in January of 1980.
That's the one. And the response from the exchanges back then was immediate panic.
They started raising margins.
Repeatedly. They implemented position limits, used liquidation-only rules, anything to stop the runaway market. And we're seeing the same playbook now. CME has raised silver and gold futures margins by 5 to 9% multiple times since September.
But if we want a true, honest perspective on how big this $56 high actually is, we have to talk about what that $50 peak from 1980 means today.
This is the aha moment for any investor. When we adjust that $50 peak from 1980 for the growth in the M2 money supply and GDP, that peak equates to over $500 today.
Over $500. That is a jarring number. For listeners who aren't familiar, why is M2 the right metric, not just consumer inflation?
That's a great question. Simple inflation, like CPI, just measures the cost of goods. But M2 money supply measures the total amount of money available in the economy, cash, deposits, all of it.
So it's the total monetary base.
Right. And since 1980, that base has expanded massively. Using M2 gives you a truer sense of the dollar's relative purchasing power. It quantifies the erosion of the fiat currency itself.
So what you're saying is, despite setting a new nominal record at $56, silver isn't even close to the real monetary ceiling it hit nearly half a century ago.
Not even in the same ballpark. It confirms that this current run is being driven by industrial demand and real shortages, not the pure speculative monetary euphoria that we saw in 1980.
And speaking of that speculation, there's a vital difference in market structure today, isn't there?
Yes. In 1979, the market was dominated by concentrated positions, the famous Hunt brothers. That made it easier for regulators to step in and break the speculation.
There was a clear target.
A very clear target. Today, the market lacks a single dominant player. It's fragmented across global exchanges, Shanghai, COMEX, India. That dilutes the effect of any single regulatory action. It makes global momentum much, much harder to stop.
And the U.S. government now designating silver as a critical mineral? That adds another layer that didn't exist in 79.
That designation is huge. It signals that silver is essential to domestic industry and national defense. It shifts its profile from just a monetary hedge to a strategic necessity.
It makes the supply deficit a matter of national economic security.
It does.
So what does this all mean in the bigger picture? How are professional analysts interpreting this sudden jump? Is it inflation fears, an industrial boom, or just technical euphoria?
Well, if we look at the broader context, precious metals are obviously influenced by macro factors. Fed policy, inflation, geopolitics.
Yeah.
A softening dollar supports commodities, and that's part of the tailwind we're seeing.
And what are the specific expert takeaways on this November surge?
The experts in our sources are heavily leaning toward fundamentals over the noise. Mike Maloney, for example, he highlighted the monetary signals, the long-term currency devaluation, and he dismissed the CME glitch as just market theater.
Right.
Similarly, Ben Rickert pointed to the trend of fiat erosion, which aligns perfectly with those Silver Institute deficit forecasts. They're all basically saying the fundamentals finally caught up to the charts.
But we always need a balanced view. What are the potential headwinds? What could possibly slow this down?
There are always risks. First, if recycling efforts can become significantly more efficient, that could ease some supply pressure over time. Hasn't happened yet, but it's possible.
Okay.
Second, an abrupt global economic slowdown would curb industrial demand. Fewer solar panels, fewer EVs, that would remove that critical 50% support base.
And from a technical trader's perspective, what level are they watching to signal a reversal?
Any sustained technical breakdown below the 50-day moving average, that would be a major red flag. For now, the momentum is holding, but traders are watching that level obsessively.
So this deep dive shows pretty definitively that the record high wasn't caused by the CME failure. The failure actually proved the underlying strength. The surge was driven by fundamental supply deficits, projected for a fifth straight year now, and this incredible industrial demand from solar and EVs.
The CME halt was a major disruption, but it just confirmed the momentum was global. It wasn't confined to one paper exchange. It confirmed the structural drivers are now overriding the volatility we usually see from paper trading.
The price is finally reflecting a true physical shortage.
Is it?
And that leads us to a final provocative thought. The source materials clearly show the 1980 silver peak is equivalent to over $500 today. So considering that context and the fact we now have a globally fragmented market with persistent structural deficits and silver is a critical industrial mineral, are regulatory margin adjustments, these small 5 to 9% hikes, are they truly enough to contain the momentum this time?
When you have a critical industrial necessity that is also a monetary metal and the physical supply is dwindling, you create a perfect storm. The question really is, what does that dual role of silver mean for its long-term volatility and its eventual price ceiling in a world that is starved for supply?
Something for you to mull over as you watch the charts and the news over the coming weeks. Thank you for joining us for the deep dive.